Hello. So today I will present code pointer integrity, which is a way to defend against control flow hijack attacks. This is joint work with Laszlo Szekeres, Matthias Payer, my advisor George Candia, Arsha Kar, and Don Song. So what is a control flow hijack attack? Let's look at an example. This sample program fragment contains a pointer computation operation, a pointer dereference, and an indirect function call. An attacker might look at this pointer computation and see that in this silly example, it depends on the input, which an attacker can control. So the attacker can subvert this computation and make the resulting pointer point to the location in memory that stores the function pointer. Then, when this data pointer is dereferenced, an attacker can override the function pointer and make it point to the location of the shell code, which is the code that the attacker wants to execute. When the function pointer is used in the indirect function call, the program control flow will be transferred right to the shell code. This is what we call a control flow hijack. Well, this is nothing new. It has been around for half a century. So the question is, should we still care today? If we look at the last 10 years, how many control flow hijack vulnerabilities do we have in the software that we use? The answer is that we have more and more of them every year. Well, we might care about high-level policies such as JavaScript confinement, but that will all fall apart if we just have a control flow hijack vulnerability in the browser, and then the site can easily execute with the privileges of the browser itself. So control flow hijacks have been around for 50 years. We've been trying hard to defend against them, and obviously we are not succeeding. So something needs to change. Well, you can write all your code in high-level languages that provide memory safety. But even then, most of the code you actually run is C and C++ code. This is because language runtimes and native libraries are typically written in C. Here is an example. Just 3,000 lines of Python code needs millions of lines of C code to run. Well, the good news is that you can retrofit memory safety onto C and C++. However, the overheads of such approaches are way too high for practical deployments today. The state of the art of defending against control flow hijacks is control flow integrity. It has been proposed nearly 10 years ago and much research since then. Unfortunately, just this year, it was shown by multiple researchers that control flow integrity can be bypassed in a principled way. And the overhead of control flow integrity is also not that good. It's high enough for many practical cases. So where does it leave us, the systems programmers, today? We can either have safety and security or flexibility and performance. The work I'm presenting today is about giving you both. So I will introduce code pointer integrity, which is a defense mechanism for control flow hijack attack defense. It works on unmodified programs written in C and C++. The practical mechanism that I will introduce has the overhead of just 0.5 to 1.9% on average, depending on whether the benchmark is CPU intensive or not. I call this practical because we actually applied it to real systems that we use today. I also introduce the guaranteed protection mechanism, for which we have a formal proof of correctness. That comes at a cost of 8.4 to 10.5% performance overhead on average, depending on the benchmark. The key insight behind code pointer integrity is to take memory safety and apply it to code pointers only. Because code pointers are just a minority of data in program memory, applying memory safety to just them will give us protection against control flow hijack attacks without imposing a new performance overhead. So now I will show you how it works. Consider again our simple example program. The key reason why the attacker was able to subvert it is that he can use, or he or she can use the data pointer dereference in order to override the code pointer that is stored in memory. So we prevent that from ever happening by separating the program memory into the safe memory that contains code pointers and nothing else, and the regular memory that contains everything else. we enforce the isolation of the safe memory on the instruction level granularity. Only the instructions that are meant to access the safe memory are ever allowed to do it at runtime. We find all such instructions using type-based static analysis that I will explain later. We use hardware-based instruction level isolation in order to ensure that no other instructions in the program can ever access any data in the safe memory, even if subverted and hijacked by an attacker. So we avoid some of the practical problems that are typically arise when we change the memory layout by just keeping the layout of the regular memory unchanged. We simply leave the places that were used to be occupied by code pointers empty. In practice, we found that on SPEC 2006 benchmark, only 2.5% of memory accesses were to the safe memory, which confirms our intuition that code pointers are a minority of data in the program memory. So we could protect the stack in the same way as we did for the key. However, in fact, for the stack, we can do better. Consider a simple function that has two local variables, buf and r. The stack frame of this function would contain those local variables followed by a return address, which is a code pointer. Because it's a code pointer, we put it on the safe stack, which is isolated in the same way as the safe heap. However, in this case, return address is only accessed at a constant offset relative to the stack pointer, and such accesses are always safe, as can be decided by the compiler at the time of compilation. But in this case, so are all accesses to R variable. So we put R on the safe stack as well. The regular stack only contains variables that are ever accessed through pointers. The cool thing about it is that most functions, in fact, do not have such variables. Such small functions that are typically frequently called do not need the regular stack, and they do not have to pay the overhead of maintaining two stacks at the same time. Because of that, we found that the overhead of the safe stack, when it is applied alone, is very close to zero. Let me now summarize the memory layout of CPS. We split the memory into the safe memory that contains code pointers and nothing else, and the regular memory that contains the rest of the data. We enforce the isolation of the safe memory using instruction level isolation that is based on the existing hardware. The regular memory contains the regular heap and regular stacks for each program thread. It also contains program code that we mark read-only. The safe memory contains the safe heap and the safe stacks for each thread. This brings us to the key promise of CPI. So CPI guarantees that an attacker cannot forge a code pointer out of thin air. Is this enough for security? Well, in all practical cases that we saw, it is. However, there is one contrived example that I will show to you now. Imagine our function pointer is now embedded in a data structure, and the pointer to the data structure is also stored in memory and is used by the program in order to get the value of the function pointer. An attacker can now subvert the data pointer dereference in order to make the structure pointer point to some different location and cause the program to read the function pointer from role location in memory. Well, the CPS guarantee still holds. The attacker cannot forge a code pointer. He can only cause the program to call some of the existing pointers that was previously put in the safe memory by the program itself. However, if you want guaranteed protection against this contrived example as well, we can do it. For that, we can just extend our protection to not only code pointers, but all sensitive pointers. The sensitive pointers are code pointers and also all pointers that are used to access other sensitive pointers as well, which is essentially a transitive closure. This brings us to the code pointer integrity technique. Code pointer integrity ensures memory safety for all sensitive pointers in memory. In order to find all such pointers along with all instructions that operate on them, we rely on over-approximate type-based static analysis. Essentially, when deciding whether a value is sensitive or not, we only look at the type of this value, which is, of course, very over-approximate. But this over-approximation will only make us protect more pointers than necessary, which will not hurt the security guarantees, only the performance. We found our analysis to be highly efficient, effective. On SPEC 2006, just 6.5% of memory accesses were deemed to be sensitive by our analysis. So let me now summarize the memory layout of CPI, which is essentially the same as CPS. However, now the safe memory stores not only just code pointers, but all sensitive pointers, along with the metadata that is required to enforce memory safety at runtime. CPI guarantees that all accesses to the safe memory are always memory safe, as enforced by runtime checks. However, the accesses to regular memory do not need any runtime checks because of the instruction level isolation that we use. Hence, they always remain fast. The security guarantee provided by CPI is memory safety for all sensitive pointers. It means that an attacker cannot use any memory corruption error in order to override any sensitive pointer in memory. And because of that, an attacker cannot hijack a program control flow using memory bugs. Let me now summarize the key design points behind CPS and CPI. We separate sensitive pointers and regular data in program memory. Sensitive pointers are just code pointers for CPS and code pointers plus all indirect pointers to sensitive pointers for CPI. We ensure that accessing sensitive pointers is always safe using separation for CPS and separation and runtime checks for CPI. We ensure that accessing regular data remains fast using instruction level safe region isolation. This concludes the design part of my talk. And now I will tell you how secure CPI and CPS are. Well, to evaluate that, we took RIPE benchmark, which is, to our knowledge, the most recent and comprehensive benchmark for control flow hijack prevention mechanisms. Both CPS and CPI prevented all attacks from RIPE. Well, of course, RIPE contains only existing attacks. The only way to demonstrate the effectiveness at preventing future attacks as well is to have a formal proof of correctness, which is what we did for CPI. Please find the proof in the paper. So how does CPI and CPS compare to other techniques? The interesting features to look at are the type of the security guarantees being provided, the precision of the security guarantees, and the average performance overhead. The most strong enforcement mechanism we consider is memory safety, which provides protection beyond just control flow hijack attacks. Unfortunately, the overhead of memory safety is very high. It makes your programs twice as slow as without it. The technique I just introduced, the code pointer integrity, provides equally precise protection against all control flow hijack vulnerabilities. It has the average overhead of just 8.4 to 10.5% on, depending on whether the benchmark we use is CPU intensive or not. The other technique I introduced is code pointer separation, which provides strong protection against all existing control flow hijack vulnerabilities that we saw. It has an overhead of just 0.5 to 1.9% on average, depending on the benchmark. The fine-grained CFI implementation, as was introduced 10 years ago, has the overhead between 10 to 21%, depending on the implementation. Unfortunately, this year it was shown that an attack against fine-grained CFI can be constructed. The coarse-grained CFI implementations that became popular recently has lower performance overhead. Unfortunately, this year it was shown that they can be bypassed in a principled way, and there are known attacks against them. Moreover, the overhead of coarse-grained CFI is still higher than that of CPS. Address space layout randomization, data execution prevention, and stack cookies are already deployed today in modern operating systems that we use. Their overhead is low. Unfortunately, the guarantee they provide is very weak, and the constant or even ever-increasing stream of security exploits that we see shows that those guarantees are clearly not enough. So now I will show you how practical our CPI and CPS enforcement mechanisms are. We implemented CPI and CPS as a compiler plugin and using it as simple as just adding one extra compilation flag. We built our prototype based on the LLVM compiler framework and we call it Levy. The story behind the name is that levee are walls built around rivers in order to control the flow of the water inside rivers. We plan to integrate levee into upstream LLVM and make it available to every user of this compiler. In order to check how practical CPI and CPS are at protecting existing software systems, we used it in order to build. So finally, at last, I'm going to introduce our open source operating system distribution that comes with strong protection against control flow hijack attacks built in. We used CPI and CPS in order to recompile the entire FreeBSD user space, along with more than 100 packages such as Python, Postgres, OpenSSL, and other popular software. To evaluate the performance of our distribution, we took Phoronix, which is a popular OS distribution benchmarking tool. I will now show you the performance overhead for different Phoronix benchmarks. And those benchmarks include Postgres, OpenSSL, Python, and other popular software. Let me first show you the overhead of the safe stack when it is applied alone. On average, it's just 0.01%, which is very, very low. It never exceeds 5% margin, even on maximum. I show you these numbers because the safe stack provides much stronger security guarantees than the stack cookies that are deployed today. Yet the performance overhead of the safe stack is lower. So we believe the safe stack must be deployed as soon as possible and replace the stack cookies in modern compilers. The performance overhead of CPS is just 0.5% on average, and it does not exceed the 5% performance margin in any of the benchmarks. We believe this is low enough for almost all practical cases. The performance overhead of our code pointer integrity mechanism, which provides guaranteed protection with a formal proof, is slightly higher. It's 10.5% on average. Currently, it's still being dominated by a few performance outliers, and we are still improving our performance optimizations to handle the code in these outliers as well and bring the overhead for them down. We also run the evaluation on the spec benchmarks, and the results are very similar. You can find them in the paper. Well, this brings me to the conclusion of my talk. I'd like to summarize now that I introduced code pointer integrity technique, which provides control flow hijack protection for unmodified C and C++ source code. The practical protection mechanism that we introduce has the performance overhead of just 0.5 to 1.9% on average, depending on whether the benchmark is CPU intensive or not. We also introduce the guaranteed protection mechanism for which we have a formal proof. The performance overhead here is just 8.4 to 10.5% on average, depending on the benchmark. We tested our enforcement mechanisms on real software that we use today. The key insight behind code pointer integrity is to take memory safety and apply it to code pointers only. We released the prototype implementation of code pointer integrity on the levee project homepage. Go and download it and use it. It gives you high security guarantees with low performance overhead. So thank you for your attention. I would be happy to answer questions now. Yes.
I'll ask my question loudly. I'm John Howell. I'm from Microsoft Research, and the mic works now. And I really like this new point in the design space. The question I have is, the guarantee protection, I don't think you can quite comfortably say is so cheap as we don't have to worry about it, because 10% and, you know, some of these cases going up to 80% are pretty bad. But I don't think it's fair to dismiss the practical protection that attack as contrived, because the attack you showed, the contrived attack, it looks a lot like the kind of attack you'd use to mount a return-oriented programming attack. So I don't think that's a dismissible case.
So it's a very good question. Thanks for asking. So first, we provide precise protection for all return addresses through the safe stack. Those cannot be changed in any way. Second, for code pointers, the only thing that an attacker can still do is to call a function pointer for a function whose address was previously taken during this execution. If you compare that to control flow integrity. Control flow integrity enforces a static set of functions that are allowed to be called. And in many cases, this set degrades to just every function in the code, which is much wider than just the functions that are actually called indirectly.
Olivar Erlingsson, I'm the guy who created control flow integrity. So you completely misrepresent both the original work and the recent results on showing attacks on control flow integrity. So I have a comment with respect to that, and then I have a question.
Okay.
So first of all, my comment is that there is no principled way of breaking fine-grained control flow integrity. And you can know that there is no such principled way because we have a proof, a simple inductive proof that no such way exists. Now, the overhead that you've been talking about for fine-grained control flow integrity of 10% and 20%, sure, that was true 10 years ago when we did that. It's now implemented in the GCC compiler under the slash VTV flag, the average case complexity for there. And that's for each vtable access in C++ code guarantees you that it's exactly the right vtable that's being used and so on. So very fine grained. So it's about 4%. So I'd say that both in terms of the guarantees and the performance overhead, you grossly misrepresented the work. Now, the question that I have is actually with respect to point guard, which was also done a while back, about 15 years ago, I guess. And in that case, they found that a similar type of partitioning of pointers as being distinct from other memories simply did not work because of the prevalence of techniques that actually converted pointers to integers and back. And so why does that not affect your analysis? And I'll take my answer offline.
Okay, so I can quickly answer the question. So it does not affect our analysis because we actually deal with this problem. We implemented the static analysis that can handle all cases where the pointer is cast to integer locally within the function, and some cases where it is interprocedural. So we found that the analysis that we implemented is highly efficient in practice, and it allowed us to run on all spec benchmarks without any modification. So I guess the proof of the control flow integrity that you mentions that the tool enforces the control flow integrity property. However, the control flow integrity itself, the property itself, just restricts the set of the functions that can be called, not eliminates the ambiguity. Whereas CPI ensures that exactly the function that is meant to be called will be called. Its address can never be overwritten by a corrupt memory access. I would be really happy to discuss this offline.
Shiyang from Penn State. So sometimes compilers generate a jump table for switch case statement and use the variable in the switch statement to index the jump table. So that can also be treated as a sensitive pointer. Do you also protect that?
Good point. So jump tables are typically read-only in the code. And the variable that is used to index them is bound checked by modern compilers. Moreover, this variable is kept in a register, and all registers, even if spilled to the stack, are protected using safe stack. So jump tables are fully covered by CPI and CPS.
Okay, I have another question about the...
David Williams King, Columbia University.
Okay.
So I guess you have very strong hardware support on 32-bit systems for this type of thing. You can create segments and stuff. But on 64-bit, I gather that you just generate a random address. And then, yes, you contain all the code pointers that point to there within the safe area. But I mean, there's tons of side channels that you could use to exploit that, right? Like proc self maps, for example, will tell you exactly where the safe area is mapped. So I'm just curious. It seems to me like the support on 64-bit systems isn't great. And going forward, do you think that this is something that can be solved by the operating system by providing, like, you know, protected areas, or do you think it has to have some more hardware support? What do you think the future of this would look like?
Okay, thanks for the question. So we really think that Intel screwed it up when they removed segmentation support from 64-bit, and many people share this opinion. So we have to work around it, and we devised two ways to work around it, one that slightly reduces security and the other that slightly reduces performance. The way you mentioned is randomization. So we put the safe region at random address. However, it's much stronger than typical ISLR because we guarantee that no information leaks attacks are possible by just never storing any pointers to the safe region outside of the safe region itself. So the sensitive pointers are defined recursively. Any pointer that points to sensitive pointer is also point sensitive. So it's also in the sensitive region. So information leaks attacks are not possible. And of course, there is also /proc/self. But again, then we need some support from the operating system to just omit the safe region from /proc/self/mmap. And the other way that we implemented is classical software fault isolation. And that provides guaranteed protection, will work on every architecture, but it adds around 5% performance overhead to, on top of CPI.
Joe Tuchek, HP Labs, actually, that mostly was my question, although I would say it was AMD who removed from 64-bit.
Yeah, okay, yes.
But thank you for explaining how you dealt with the lack of segmentation.
Okay. Yeah, well, Intel could have put it back, right?
So the performance overhead for the CPI, would you characterize that, like, to what extent is that imprecision in the static analysis, and to what extent is that just you're protecting and so you're doing more work?
Good question. So in C and C++, there are those universal pointers, like char star and void star, that are allowed to point to everything. And C and C++ particularly mess it up because char star is used as a universal pointer, as also as a pointer to regular strings. And for such pointers, we must protect them because they may point to code pointers. Of course, we have some ways to analyze the code and find cases where the protection is not necessary. But by default, we protect such universal pointers as well. And this adds majority of performance overhead for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.